cannot believe it's here. I'm both happy and sad to say we've reached the conclusion of our first series for Proceed to Checkout. Thank you so much to everyone listening for following this journey, and a huge thank you to the Beerhawk team for granting us access to their team in order to tell this story. If you've missed parts 1 through 5, I gotta ask, what are you doing here? Make like a double-decker bus and go back to part 1 so you can listen in order for the full experience. We'll conclude our craft beer journey after this message from our partner. Adobe has partnered with Wayflyer to provide B2C e-commerce businesses with easy, fast funding to accelerate their growth. Wayflyer tailors their funding solution for each business to fit their unique needs while also offering marketing and inventory insights to optimize spend. Approved businesses can receive between $10,000 and $20 million in flexible funding within 1 to 3 days. Whether your business both confirms and celebrates championships, or if you're doing it lower key, like with a sweet baseline and empty taunts from a kid with mud on his face, check out wayflyer.com/adobe to join the Adobe Commerce and Magento open source merchants that are already using Wayflyer today.
We genuinely care. We care about the world of craft beer. We care about our customers. We care about our team. And it's all very genuine.
There goes Mark again with a solid one-liner. If that doesn't tug at your heartstrings this time of year, I don't know what will. By now, we've established the great pride and care our friends at Beerhawk take in their work. So when it comes to thinking about and planning for the future, where does that fit into the day-to-day of each team that we've had a chance to speak with? Here's Senior Product Manager Matt Freegard again, with a bit of insight on some recent projects his team has undertaken, and how those projects tie to the benchmarking and metrics that are important to Beerhawk's strategy.
Yeah, we've done quite a few things recently. One of the big projects that I was working on is actually implementing our new search and browse tools. We used a company called Algolia. They famously talk about search, but I was actually driving it more from the browse experience. So we don't have that many users searching. I think we're quite on the low end when we look at benchmarking for the on-site search adoption. So maybe that's a thing we need to look at to see how we can get people to search. But with our offering, especially with our kegs offering, it's quite an easy thing to just go and flick through the offering we have. So it's not necessarily something you need to search for, I think. And that's what I tell myself, at least, why we don't necessarily focus on driving on-site search. So if someone corrects me, then I'm happy to hold my hands up to that. So yeah, that project was a little longer in the scoping process than I wanted, because we actually also brought in our sister company, which was good because we actually drove down costings by having greater usage of the platform. But yeah, a really successful project. We saw 20% improvement in conversion rate from PLP. So yeah, product listing pages through just a better, quicker experience. We didn't change a lot of things on the front end, but Algolia provided a lot slicker and faster filtering interface, listing page loading, that kind of thing. So a great success, really, and turned around in quite a short period of time from starting development to finishing it. I think it was about 6 weeks by about 1-2 people. So yeah, it was quite a good process.
To expand on Matt's insight, here's head of marketing Rob Flanagan with a deeper look at benchmarking at Beerhawk and what the team is looking to do in the long term to ensure the business remains healthy.
Before the pandemic, Beerhawk was heavily focused in terms of just growth, like talking about revenue and bringing more money in. With the change in senior leadership, we've had a huge switch to actually focusing on like breaking even, being profitable and building a sustainable business for the future. So we've had a bit of a switch in terms of marketing and the KPIs that we look at. We actually have a broad range of things. So we're looking at CPAs constantly, like things that any normal marketer is going to be used to. We also look at repeat rate in a 90-day period. So how likely someone is who's bought in one quarter is to come back in another. Because we see this kind of thing as a healthy long-term growth of the business. When you're working with alcohol, like the answer to increasing revenue isn't to push more alcohol on one person. It's not to increase one person's frequency considerably. It's to have a good base of consistent customers who come back, you know, with an acceptable level of frequency. And yeah, we take the view that we don't want to push people to keep on buying more and more and more. We want to have this really broad base of like repeat customers that, yeah, can come back to Beerhawk when they feel ready to buy alcohol. So yeah, we've got an interesting mix of metrics that we look at as a marketing team. And then of course, as a business, like the main thing that we look at is NPS. So net promoter score is our North Star. We have a Slack bot that every day breaks down all of the reviews that we get from customers and puts them into categories. We are constantly reviewing our net promoter score versus where we were last year. We've set very stretching targets for ourselves. And BeerHawk's NPS is, at the moment, it's over 80. So we're always aiming to, well, our target is to keep it over 80. And anyone who works in direct to consumer will tell you it can be very difficult to do that because a lot of it relies on your courier and things that are outside of your control to a certain extent. But we take the view that it is ultimately all within our sphere of influence. And if a customer has a bad experience, we can counteract that. And that's what should move the NPS higher. So we're very much of the belief that if we have a high NPS, if we give the customer an exceptional experience, that's what keeps our repeat rate high. That's what means that a customer is likely to come back and they're likely to tell their friends. NPS really is the North Star for us and customer satisfaction.
With NPS as the North Star, here's customer services lead Andy Ward to talk about how he and his team work with and support NPS for the business.
NPS is huge to us. I'm responsible for that metric with us. So it's something that I am regularly talking to the rest of the business about. I imagine at times I think I'm moaning, but I'm not. It's really key. So our net promoter score is so valuable to us because it's not just about the pounds that you make. It's not just about the revenue that we bring in. It's about the customer's experience. And the best way that we can measure that is through our NPS. And all of our improvements, certainly in the last 18 months, which has been a real big shift for us, is around that NPS score and making sure that we maintain a high standard. So making sure that we just take away all the barriers that we can for a customer, or all that are in our control anyway, is probably the best way to put that, and continue to just grow around that. So we're never going to be happy with it until all of our customers are happy.
So we've walked through benchmarking at BeerHawk. Say that 5 times fast, am I right? And I just wanted to know how those benchmarks are leading to future plans for the business and the technology. Starting with Chris, or Christoph, our tech lead, here's his insight on the BeerHawk approach to PWA and headless commerce, as well as what he thinks is next for the site. There's even some bonus insight on Perfect Draft, which we discussed in part 5.
PWA is a progressive web application, is basically super fast front end for any platform, regardless if we're talking about Magento or any other platform. We're actually planning to go the PWA route for nearly over a year and a half. Everything what we're doing to decouple and doing the headless part of our Magento, we're actually running like parallel with the PWA approach. We looked multiple times to do the implement PWA at the BeerHawk site using PWA Studio. But at the time when we start cart and checkout, they were not a part of the PWA. There was only the single page, product landing pages, category pages, which we decide that is kind of the easiest part to achieve. That's why then we decide, let's move to the cart and checkout. And basically, when we start our development, there was a really big effort from Magento, now Adobe, to actually including the cart and checkout in the PWA Studio. When we decide to go cart and checkout, we knew that if we can't tackle the most crucial, the most difficult part of any e-commerce platform, to move back and do the other pages, it shouldn't be the biggest problem for us. So we currently at BeerHawk, we're not running on the PWA Studio because we actually did another approach. We actually implemented Algolia for our product listing pages. But again, like I mentioned before, we didn't take the standard route to just put the module and let Algolia do everything. We basically rebuilt entire front end on the category pages using the Algolia module, and actually compare now our loading times for category pages. We are not far or very similar in the speed what you can achieve on the PWA. So if we will decide to go PWA, The only part for us, basically, it will be only the product detail page, because the everything else, we actually decouple. What we did, we actually rebuilt as well the dashboard, because there was a lot of things that we need to include in the standard Magento customer dashboard. For example, in our case, there was a really big part of the business, which was a keg return process. So we have to super streamline that for our customers, so they can do everything from the platform to actually return the empty kegs to us. So we built another single page app inside the dashboard using React.js, and we actually integrate three carriers in the United Kingdom, which is a Collect Plus and the Yodel. And Collect Plus is actually split on two different routes, so customer can actually drop to thousands of shops around the UK, the products to the shop, or they can actually print at home or use the another carrier that everything will be collected from them. So again, simple approach. We use the single app using the React.js, strip everything from the dashboard, include that as a separate section inside the Magento, link to all the third-party services, some of them using as well. We need to facilitate AWS SQS queuing system to make sure that everything is nicely throttled and not really hammering our database during all these processes. Let me be very diplomatic, because it is the roadmap. And there are some really great features that they will be released, and we will be improving the existing functionality of the Magento plus adding some extra functionality. I would say the best, stay tuned, visit the website, browse, and then, because we're releasing like every week new features. Some of them are really small, some of them are really big. So for example, I don't know if you guys browse, it's actually for some time now, we released the information for customer when your beer will be delivered to you. We rebuild the Magento, well, not even rebuild, because that functionality never exists. So we add the SLA for customers. We build that we can prioritize individual items in different delivery days and different dispatch times. So basically, depends of your products in the cart. We will actually display that your beer will be with you Tuesday, next day, or Wednesday, or Thursday, all depends. There are small features, but making your journey, I think we're taking all the complexity and the questions that you would like to ask to our, for example, customer service, or go on the chat, where will be your beer, or waiting for the email, or like most of the merchants, you got the little asterisk, please see the delivery tab. We actually took that away, so you can actually see live when you're actually browsing the items. You don't even need to put them in the basket. You can see them on the product detail page when your beer could be delivered. Then obviously there are some exemption in UK, because there are different areas that we can deliver next day, but everything is stayed for all the customer journey. There are lots of things upcoming, lots of the things, but unfortunately, there are some that I can't disclose, so I'm sorry, but they are, until they are released, they are our internal secret.
Keeping us on our toes. I see how it is. Not that this outlook on the future is much more detailed, but here are some more thoughts on future brand expansions from Rob.
So I can't give anything away. Yes, in terms of plans on expanding into North America, definitely. It's something that we've talked about. The three-tier distribution system in the US, so the way that breweries can't sell to, although they have to sell to wholesalers who sell to the retailers, it's an added complexity that we don't have to deal with in the UK. So there's definitely quite a few things for us to iron out. I'm not going to rule anything out, but yeah, likewise, you're not going to hear it from me, unfortunately.
As you might imagine, I did not only ask Chris and Rob to wax philosophical about the future of BeerHawk, I also asked Head of Content and Community, Dan Marsham. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, so I think the future of BeerHawk is growth. And it's been like that since day one when I started. watching it develop in the way it's developed and the speed it's developed over just under 5 years has been absolutely incredible. And if I'm brutally honest with you, I just don't see that stopping anytime soon. And it's really exciting for me. And I think the main thing for me is that the world of like home consumption of alcohol has changed. I think that people are trying new beers and discovering new beers and enjoying beer in a different way than what it may have been 10, 20 years ago. And that's really exciting for me. So I think the future of Beer Hawk is a very bright one. I think it's exciting for me personally as well, because I get to grow alongside this business and I've had the opportunity to grow alongside this business and it's been outstanding. And my final word on what the future is definitely going to be people enjoying and pulling pints at home. That's what I see.
As I think we all know, there's no future without following actions in the present. I'd like to close this story with some commentary on user and customer testing from Matt, something he admits Beer Hawk could be doing more of. I bet I'd be hard-pressed to find any company or brand that doesn't feel they could be doing more of this. I think that this is fantastic. It's an important lesson or an idea to end on. Always be learning.
I'd suggest not enough at the moment. Yeah, it's definitely something that's on my personal roadmap to explore and expand. My predecessor did a lot more testing beforehand, so it's definitely something that I would like to get involved with more. We've done some user interviews. We use packages to gather some customer data. We started to work more closely with customer services to work through their contact data to just get some kind of idea of what the customer is talking to us about. But also we do on-site testing through various platforms. So we do proper A/B tests, multivariate tests. We use predominantly three platforms. We have a search and browse platform, a personalization recommendation platform, and Google Optimize to do your more traditional A/B tests. We can run A/B tests in all of those, depending on what we're testing. And then customer testing proper user testing. Again, like I said, we don't do a lot of that at the moment, but it's definitely something we should be doing. I think going forwards, I would like to do some remote testing just to make sure that the website is kind of functional, up and running, getting people to do some of the happy paths through the website, but then also then exploring new features and functionality. I personally would like to look at our product pages, probably not want to change in Q4 when we're going into our peak performance, but in the next quarter after this one, probably looking at how we can improve our product pages. And we should definitely be looking at prototype testing with users there to make sure that they accept what we're doing first before making those changes.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks again for following our first series and story on Proceed to Checkout. If you've liked the show, please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is you're listening to help others find us. For more information on the Magento Association and additional merchant case studies, including how to submit ideas for future podcast deep dives, check out the links in our show notes. Have a good one.